This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, as those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it, for the present form of this world is passing away. Now in this chapter, the apostle is speaking or writing concerning marriage. The mind of God upon this subject seems to be, one, that in ordinary times marriage is honourable in all, provided it be in the Lord. And this is spoken of earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now there are some who seem to imagine that there is a peculiar holiness about living an unmarried life. But this seems quite contrary to the word of God. In this sinful world, or in the sinless world rather, before man fell, God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." And the closest walker with God in the Old Testament times was a married man. For Enoch walked with God 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Secondly, on the subject of marriage, the Apostle Paul's teaching here that in a time of distress and trouble to the church, it is better not to marry. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. Verse 26. When the ark of God is in danger, as at present in our church, it seems the mind of the Spirit that all who can should keep themselves as much as possible disentangled from earthly engagements. When the wife of Phinehas heard that the ark of God was taken, she travailed in birth and died, calling her child Ichabod, "The glory is departed." So, brothers and sisters, it does not become those who love Zion to be marrying and giving in marriage when the ark of God is in danger. Third, on this subject of marriage, Paul teaches that even in such times, it is lawful to marry. But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. Verse 28. I doubt it, brothers and sisters, the days are near when they shall say, I doubt not, brethren, that the days are near when they shall say, "Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed." Still, if any will venture to meet these times, and if you think the faith of two may bear you up better than the faith of one, I spare you. I will not lay any snare upon you. You have not sinned. Now, having opened up this subject, the apostle then proceeds with his affecting statement, which is suitable to all, married or unmarried. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remains that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. In these words, there is firstly a statement made, and that statement is this: the time is short. And again, another statement: the fashion of this world passeth away. The time to be spent in this world is very short. It is but an inch of time, a short half hour. In a very little, it will all be over, and all that is here is changing. The very hills are crumbling down. The loveliest face is withering away. The finest garments rot and decay. The fashion of this world passeth away. And secondly, in these words, there is a lesson to be drawn from this. That is, that believers should sit loose to everything here. Believers should look on everything in the light of eternity. Value nothing any more than you will do then. Sit loose to the objects, griefs, joys, occupations of this world, for you must soon change them for eternal realities. And so the doctrine of the teaching of this passage is this: the shortness of time should make believers sit loose to all things under the sun, or all things in this world. Firstly, the shortness of time. Now, the shortness of time is true in two respects. Firstly, The time that a believer has to live in this world is very short. And that's because the whole lifetime of a human being is very short. From the cradle to the grave is but a short journey. The days of our years, as we read early in Psalm 90, are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength, they may be 80 years. Yet is their strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. The half of men die before the age of 20. Even when men live for many hundreds of years, it was but a short life, a moment compared to eternity. Methuselah lived 969 years and he died. Men are short-lived, like the grass. All flesh is as grass. And the rich and beautiful are like the flower of the grass, a little fairer and more delicate. The grass withers and the flower fades because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Isaiah 40 verse 7. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. James 4:14. You know how swiftly a weaver's shuttle flies. Your life flies more swiftly. For in Job 7 verse 6, Job says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. My days are swifter than a post. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hastens to the prey. Job 9:25-26. So not only is our whole lifetime very short, but also how much of it has already passed away. Most believers spend their first days in sin. Many, hearing me, gave their best days to sin and to the world. Many among you have only the lame and the torn and the sick to give to God. All of you can look upon the past as a sleep or as a tale that was already been told. The time since I came among you appears to me to be just like a dream. And the top life, our lives are short because what remains of them is numbered. All of you hearing me have your Sabbaths numbered. The number of sermons that you are to hear, the last one is already fixed upon. Your years are numbered. To many, this is the last year that they shall ever see in this world. Many will celebrate the next year, new year, in glory. The disease is now in the body of many of you that is to lay you in the dust, and your grave is already marked out. In a little while, you will be quietly lying there. Yes, dear brethren, the time is short. The shortness of time is true because our lives are short, but also the time of this world's continuance is short. The end of all things is at hand. The fashion of this world passeth away. A believer stands on a watchtower. Things present are below his feet, and things eternal are before his eyes. A little while, brethren, and the day of grace will be over. Preaching and praying will be done. Soon we shall give over wrestling with an unbelieving world. Soon the number of believers will be complete, and the sky open over our heads, and Christ shall come. His parting cry was, surely I come quickly. Then we shall see him, whom, having not seen, we loved. A little while, and we shall stand before the great white throne. A little while, and the wicked shall not be. We shall see them going away into everlasting punishment. A little while, and the work of eternity shall be begun. We shall be like him. We shall see him day and night in his temple. We shall sing the new song without sin and weariness, forever and ever. In a little moment, brethren, all this shall be. For a small moment have I hid my face from thee, but with everlasting mercies will I gather thee, says the Lord. So the time is short. That's the first point. The second point is that the believer should learn to sit loose to all things under the sun. We need to sit loose to the dearest objects of this world. It remaineth therefore that they who have wives be as though they had none. Marriage is honourable in all. Husbands should love their wives, even as Christ loved the church. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Still, it must not be idolatry. A married believer should be, in some respects, as if he were unmarried, as if he had no wife. Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You cannot be too kind, too gentle, too loving to the parents whom God has given you. Yet, children, be as though you had none. Parents, love your children and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Yet, feel that the time is short. They are only alone from the Lord. Be not surprised if he takes his own. Esteem your ministers highly in love for their work's sake, yet be as though you had none. Lean as entirely on Christ as if you had never seen or heard a minister. Brainerd mentions an instance of one woman who, after her conversation, was resigned to the divine will in the most tender points. This woman was asked, "What if God should take away your husband from you? How do you think you would bear that?" She replied, "He belongs to God and not to me. He may do with him just what he pleases." When she longed to die, to be free from sin, she was asked what would become of her infant. And she answered, "God will take care of it. It belongs to him. He will take care of it." Rutherford says, "Build your nest upon no tree here. For you see that God hath sold the forest to death, and that every tree whereupon we would rest is ready to be cut down, to the end that we might flee and mount up and build upon the rock and dwell in the holes of the rock. Set not your heart on the flowers of this world, for they have all a canker in them. Prize instead the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley more than all, for he changes not. Live nearer to Christ than to the saints, so that when they are taken from you, you may have him to lean on still. So sit loose to the dearest objects of this world." Next, sit loose to the griefs of this world. They that weep should be as though they wept not. This world is the vale of tears. There is always someone mourning. No sooner is the tear dried up on one cheek than it trickles down the other. No sooner does one widow lay aside her weeds than another takes them up. Those that are in Christ should weep as though they wept not, for the time is short. Do you weep over those who have died in the Lord? It is right to weep, for the Lord Jesus wept. Yet weep as though you wept not, for the time is short. They are not lost, but they have gone before. The sun, when it sets, is not lost. It is gone to shine in another hemisphere. And so they have gone to shine in a brighter world. It is self-love that makes you mourn endlessly for them, for they are happy. You would not mourn if they were with a distant friend on earth. So why do you mourn when they are with the sinner's friend? They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more, neither shall sun light upon them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into fountains of living waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelation 7, 16 and 17. The time is short, and you will follow after. A few days, and you may be leaning together on the bosom of Jesus. You are nearer to them today than you were yesterday. The time is short, and you will meet with all the redeemed at the right hand of Christ. We shall mingle our voices together in the new song and wave together the eternal palm. Weep as though you wept not. Do you weep over those who died out of the Lord? Ah, there is deeper cause for weeping here. And yet the time is short when all this will be explained to you, and you will not be able to shed a tear over the lost. A little while, and you will see Jesus fully glorified, and you will not be able to wish anything different from what has happened. When Aaron lost his two sons, he held his peace. Do you mourn over bodily pain and poverty and sickness and the troubles of the world? Do not murmur, for the time is short. If you have believed in Christ, then these are all the hell you will ever bear. Think you the dying thief would complain of his pains when he was but a step before paradise? So it is with you. Your hell is dried up, and you have only these two shallow brooks to pass through, sickness and death. And you have a promise that Christ shall do more than meet you, go with you, foot for foot, and bear you up in his arms. When we get to the presence of Jesus, all our griefs shall look like children's griefs. A day in his presence will make you remember your miseries no more. Wherefore, take courage and run with patience. Next, we ought to sit loose to the enjoyments of this world. It is quite right for a believer to use the things of this world and to rejoice in them. None has such a right as the believer has to rejoice and be happy. He has the right to use the bodily comforts of this world, to eat his meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. He has a right to all the joys of home and of kindred and friendship. It is highly proper that he should enjoy these things. He has a right to all the pure pleasures of mind and of intellect and of imagination. For God has given him all things richly to enjoy. Still, he should rejoice as though he rejoiced not, and use this world as not abusing it, for the time is short. In a little while, you will be at your Father's table above, drinking the new wine with Christ. You will meet with all your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you will have pure joy in God throughout ceaseless ages. Do not be much taken, therefore, with the joys that are here. I have noticed children that when they are going out to a feast, they would eat but sparingly, that they might have a keener appetite for the coming desserts and dainties to follow. And so, dear friends, you are going to a feast above. So do not dull your appetite with earthly joys. Sit loosely to them all. Look upon them all as fading. As you walk through a flower garden, you never think of lying down to make your home among its roses. So pass through the garden of this world's best joys. Smell the flowers in passing, but do not tarry. Jesus calls you to his banqueting house. There you will feed among the lilies on the mountains of spices. Oh, it ill becomes a child of God to be found at an earthly banquet when you are looking to be sitting down so soon with Jesus. It ill becomes you to be taken up with dress and show when you are soon to see the face. That was crowned with thorns. Brethren, if you are ever so much taken up with any enjoyment that it takes away your love for prayer or for your Bible, or that it would frighten you to hear the cry, "The bridegroom cometh," and you would say, "Is he come already?" then you are abusing this world. Oh, sit loose to this world's joys, for the time is short. We are to sit loose to the occupations of this world. It is right for Christians to be diligent in business. I often wonder how unconverted souls can be so busy. How, when you are bustling along, filling up all your time with worldly things, it never occurs to you that there will be none of this in eternity? How can I be so busy for my body when my poor soul is unprovided for? But those in Christ may well be diligent. They have a good conscience that oils the wheels. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A light heart maketh easy work. And they love to honour their Lord. They would not have it said that a believer in Christ was an idler or a sluggard. The love of Jesus constrains them to all that is lovely. And yet, a believer should buy as though he possessed not, for the time is short. Oh, believers, you cannot be misers, for you are but stewards. All that you possess here is your Lord's, and the day is at hand when he will transfer you to take care of another property in a brighter land. You are but servants. It would not do if you were to set your hearts on the things that are in this lower room, for in a few days your master is to call you to serve in his own dear presence. Dear believers, be ready to leave your room for the golden harp. At a minute's warning, be ready to leave your desk for the throne of Jesus, your pen for the palm of victory. Be ready to leave the market below for the street of the New Jerusalem, where the redeemed shall walk. If you were in a sinking ship, you would not cling hard to bags of money. You would sit loose to all and be ready to swim. This world is like a sinking ship, and those who grasp at its possessions will sink with it. Oh, buy as though you possess not, for the time is short. So this text teaches that the time is short and that believers ought to sit loosely to all things under the sun. Next, what ought the converted man learn from this shortness of time? Firstly, learn your folly in having lost the past. Although life be very short, it is all saving time. This is the reason for which God has given it to us. The long-suffering of God is intended for our salvation. God gives men time to hear the gospel, to pray, and to get saving conversion. But unconverted souls have wasted all the past. Think how much time you have lost in idleness, how many golden opportunities for prayer and hearing of the word and of meditation you have lost. How much time have you spent uselessly in your bed, or in idle talk, or in loitering about your doors? If you saw how short your time is, and how death and hell are pursuing you, you would have fled to Christ, but you have not. Think how much time you have spent in sin, at the tavern, or in vain company, or in dances, or in night walking, or in sins of which it is a shame to even to speak. God gave you time for the saving of your soul, and you have spent it in ruining your soul. God gave you time to flee to Christ, and you have spent it in fleeing instead toward hell. Think how much time you have spent in business without one thought for eternity. Think how you have lost your best time. Youth is your best time of being saved. You hear that, children? Many of you have lost it. Time of awakening, Sabbaths, holy time, years of Sabbaths have gone over many of you. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved, says the Lord. Secondly, the unconverted ought to consider what value they put on time for those that are now in hell. Once, brethren, they cared for it as little as you do. Once, they could see their years passing away without caring. Once, they could let their Sabbaths slip away, but now they see their folly. What would they now give, brethren, for such an opportunity as you have this day? What would they give for another year of grace, for another week, for another day? It is probable that some of your friends or companions, now in hell, are wishing that they could come back to tell you how precious is an inch of saving time. Oh, be wise! Why stand ye all the day idle? It has come to the 11th hour with some. Your unconverted head is grey and your feet are tottering. If you saw a man condemned to die, lying in chains, who had but 3 hours to live, if you saw that man playing at dice or singing wanton songs, would you not be shocked? You would say that he was a hardened wretch. Ah, are there not some among you the same? You are condemned already, and your days are numbered. You are hanging by a thread over the mouth of hell, and you are cutting and slashing at the hand that holds you. In but a little moment, brethren, it will all be over. Throughout the never-ending ages of eternity, you will remember the few days we spent together. Ah, the remembrance will add fuel to the flame and be a never-ending worm in your poor soul. But I say this, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, as they that weep, as though they wept not, as they that rejoice, as though they rejoice not, and they that buy, as though they possess not, and they that use this world, as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world is passing away. Amen.